God gives to the drudges. Part 3, The Three Heavens and Earths, by Frank Neil Pohorlak. Two great convulsions divide the history of the heavens and the earth into two grand divisions. One is found at the forefront of Revelation, the second is near its finish. The heavens and earth were destroyed by water, General.1:2. In the future his will be affected by fire. The past was a physical regeneration, the future will be a chemical recreation. Water, in the form of seas, is found only on the present earth. It was not on, but about, the previous one. It will be abolished in the third earth, Rev.2:1:1. A knocking concordant commentary. Whenever the subject of the heavens is brought up, our thought processes, being channeled by tradition, direct these heavens into a mental rut. The result may be a picture of one heaven up on top of another heaven, a sort of atmospheric cake made up of heavenly layers. In this study we shall present for your consideration evidence that, as to material basis, the scriptures speak of three heavens and earths. They are not one on top of the other, but one after the other. The limits of this paper preclude an exhaustive treatment of this important subject. We merely wish to stimulate your thinking and to guide your heart into fields of refreshing, mature spiritual food, to say nothing of fostering and developing profitable study habits in the things of God. 2 Tim.2:15, Heb.5:12-14. Let us proceed to the proof. First heaven and earth begin God's material creation. The first heaven and earth mentioned is in the opening sentence of God's inspired autographs. In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, General.1:1. Avenue. The first "the" is not in the original, and heaven is plural, heavens. The earth is really the dry land, General.1:9:101. It does not include the sea. The statement is not concerned with time in the absolute sense. It refers rather to that which God begins to do. We might paraphrase or freely translate it, to begin with, God created the heavens and the earth. Or, if we treat the words, in the beginning, as the title, too, we may read, God, the Elohim, creates the heavens and the earth. Hence the first thing on his creative program as to material basis was the heavens and the earth. These are the two spheres mentioned in his word which reveal him as operating during the eons, Eph.1:10, Col.1:20. First world perished by water. All things did not continue as they were from the beginning of creation. The water which engulfed the earth was not there originally, General.1:2, Job 38:8-11. God formed the earth to be inhabited, Isa.45:18. Peter writes, knowing this first, that in the last days scoffers will be coming with scoffing, going according to their own desires and saying, where is the promise of his presence? For since the fathers were put to repose, all is continuing thus from the beginning of creation. Why should they make a remark like this? Peter states that this attitude on the part of the scoffers is because they want to be oblivious of this, that there were heavens of old, and an earth cohering out of water and through water, by the word of God, through which the then world cosmos, being deluged, 3, by water, perished, 2 Peter 3:3-6. In this passage, does Peter refer to the flood of Genesis 6:1-8:22 or to an earlier event? The context in Peter says, from the beginning of creation. There can be no question as to which beginning was meant, nor as to which creation he was referring to. The scoffers were contending that all continues as it was from the beginning, Vss 3:4. They are reminded by Peter that the heavens of old, and the earth, were deluged by water. We find this momentous event recorded at the very forefront of Revelation. It follows the statement in Genesis 1:1 where creation begins with the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:2 continues, yet the earth became a chaos and vacant, and darkness was on the surface of the submerged chaos. Yet the Spirit of God, the Elohim, is vibrating over the surface of the water. Second, heavens and earth, their transient nature. God is now seen rearranging the chaotic and vacant condition mentioned in Genesis 1, 2. On the first day, day 1, he began by commanding that out of darkness light should be shining, General 1, 3-5, 2 Cor. 4, 6. On the second day he is making an atmosphere, avenue, firmament, margin, expansion, that he is calling heavens, General 1, 6-8. The heavens and the earth which Peter says are now, 2 Peter 3, 7, start at Genesis 1, 6-8, for the heavens, and 1, 9-13, for the earth. They continue to this present time and are the second heavens and earth mentioned in Scripture. They embrace within their limits all of God's administrations from the restoration beginning in Genesis 1, 3 to the end of the kingdom aeon, commonly called the millennium, Latin for 1,000 years. This present heavens and earth, the second, are transient. We are reminded that they shall pass away. Let us consult a concordance, such as Wigram's Greek, pages 571-573. Aranos, heaven. Matt. 5:18 till heaven and earth pass. 24:35 heaven and earth shall pass. Mark 13:31 heaven and earth shall pass away. Luke 16:17 it is easier for heaven and earth to pass. 21:33 heaven and earth shall pass away. Heb. 1:10 the heavens are the work of thine hands, they shall perish. 2 Peter 1:10 the heavens shall pass away. Rev. 21, when I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and earth were passed away. FLRE ushers in the third heavens and earth. The last reference above, showing the transitory character of the second heavens and earth, tells us, I perceived a new heaven and a new earth, for the former avenue, first heaven and the former avenue, first earth pass away, and the sea is no more. In full agreement with this passage, are Peter's words that the present heavens and earth, which is the second of three, will be destroyed by fire. Yet the heavens now, and the earth, by the same word, are stored with fire. In which the heavens shall be passing by with a booming noise, yet the elements shall be dissolved by combustion. Because of which the heavens, being on fire, will be dissolved and the elements decomposed by combustion, 2 Peter 3, 7-12. This gives place to new heavens and a new earth, verses 13, the third referred to in Scripture. They embrace the day of God and are the last to be the mentioned in His Word. A summary of our subject. Let us restate and condense our study of this subject up to this point. There was a heavens and an earth before the present one. There will be heavens and an earth after this present one has vanished. Consequently there are three heavens and three earths, not vertical in space but rather horizontal in time. The first, as originally created, was established of old by God's word, General 1, 1, PSA.33, 6-9. He had surrounded them by the element which was to be used for their destruction, water. They lasted until the first deluge, the one spoken of in Genesis 1, 2, cf. 2 Peter 3, 5, 6. The second is the present heavens and earth. By the same divine statement it has been constituted a storehouse of fire towards the day of judging and destruction of irreverent men, 2 Peter 3, 7. Then the elements shall be dissolved by combustion and the earth and the works therein shall be burned up, 2 Peter 3:10, Alexandrines. This gives place to the third, a new heavens and earth in which righteousness is reigning and dwelling, 2 Peter 3:13. He who is sitting on the throne said, Rev. 2:1, 5, Lo! New am I making all. For, behold me creating new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor shall they come upon the heart, Isaiah 6:5-17. A precise of our study. To begin with, God created the heavens and the earth, General 1, 1. This was followed by the first deluge by water. General. 2 Peter 3:4-6. Then by the same divine statement came the heavens and the earth which are now. 2 Peter 3:7. These are to be dissolved by fiery combustion. 2 Peter 3:7-12. Then following this, according to his promise, we are looking for a new heavens and a new earth wherein righteousness is dwelling. Isa. 6:5-17. 2 Peter 3:13. Rev. 2:1-5. In this manner we are enabled to see that, as to material basis, the three heavens and earths follow each other along a linear plane, through what is called time. Let us make a sketch of this. 1. God created heavens and earth. General 1:1. WTR. 2 Pet 3:4-6. 2. Heavens and earth which are now. 2 Pet 3:7. FIRE. 2 Pet 3:7-10:12. 3. New heavens, new earth is a 65:17. 2 Pet 3:13. Rev. 21:1-5. Light shed on a perplexing problem. This light on the three heavens and earths may help us to solve a perplexing problem which is to be found in 2 Corinthians 12:1-4. There we read in verse 2, Avenue, caught up to the third heaven, and in verse 4, Avenue, caught up into paradise. Here the verses seem to indicate a direction, a seeming contradiction to the divine statements we have just dealt with. We mention it because we want to be fair and present all the evidence, even when it seems to be contrary to our position. 2 fundamental rules governing scripture study need to be noted at this juncture. 1. It is impossible for one inspired scripture to contradict another inspired scripture dealing with the same subject, and 2. No doctrine that does violence to any scripture is true, for truth must accord with truth. Statements of truth seemingly discrepant can always be harmonized when the facts are known. Bearing this in mind, let us proceed with our study. The Avenue renderings in 2 Corinthians 12:2-4, caught up, were intended to reflect the Greek terms harpagenta and herpint respectively, as found in extant editions of the Greek New Testament text. Contemporary Bible translators who followed the Avenue in these instances should have consulted Thayer, 4, Green, 5, Arndt and Gingrich, 6. To name just a few in order to ascertain the basic meaning of the Greek verb in question harpazo, that is to snatch away, which allows for any direction. This agrees with the definition given in our keyword concordance, page 275, seize with a sudden grasp and carry away, as a wolf its prey. Since the Avenue rendering of this passage creates more problems in its wake than it purports to solve, we should carefully consider it before embracing it. The usual solutions, as offered by the Avenue and others on this passage in 2 Corinthians 12:1-4, are, to say the least, most unsatisfactory. Our rendering is not merely an attempt to be novel or different. Instead, it offers a sane solution, one that harmonizes with the other scriptures on the same subject. It should claim each student's attention as a most reasonable answer to a problem bristling with as many thorny points as a porcupine has quills. It should receive earnest and thoughtful consideration by his judges. Here the concordant literal New Testament reads, such a one was snatched away to the third heaven. He was snatched away into paradise. 2 Cor. 12:2-4. This same verb is used of the description of the rapture harpag circumflex sumpha, we shall be snatched away. 1 Thess. 4:17, and elsewhere in the New Testament. Matt. 11:12-13:19. Luke 16:16, John 6:15, 10:12, 28:29, Acts 8:39, 23:10, Jude 23:1-5. None of the sheep will be taken away by force, out of the hands of the shepherd. Saving is compared to conveying away suddenly, out of the fire. And so on, through the rest of the occurrences listed. The reader is invited to check them and thus satisfy himself that, what at first seemed to be contradictory to other divine statements, serves instead to endorse them. From this it seems obvious that the misleading rendering, caught up, was invented only for the purpose of supporting the erroneous idea that the three heavens were piled up, one on top of the other. Paul glories in this experience. The passage under scrutiny is Paul's greatest ground for glorying. It is called forth here in this context for the first time because of its urgent need, cf 2 Cor 11:1-33. Going back 14 years, we find Paul on his first missionary journey after his separation at Antioch, Acts 13:1-3. At Lystra he is stoned and left for dead, 14:19. More than likely it is at this time that he is transported in spirit into the third heaven. This is the heaven viewed by John in Revelation 21:1. However, John does not enter into it but confines his description to the new earth. Paul was snatched away into the third heaven, out into this future aeon which follows the millennial aeon of the Messiah's kingdom reign, and there saw and heard things not lawful to be uttered. There he saw the supremacy of Christ, an administration of the complement of the eras, to head up all in the Christ, both that in the heavens and that on the earth, Eph 1:10. He may also have seen and heard other matters which he does not reveal until he writes the prison letters, Ephesians, Colossians, Philemon, and Philippians. He also enters the new earth and its park paradisos which John describes in Revelation 22:2. Cf. Rev. 2:7, the tree of life which is in the midst of the paradise of God, or as the CV 7 reads, the log of life which is in the center of the paradise of God. If the evidence from the word is persuasive and conclusive, the student should now be ready to fill the rectangles on this page with the facts revealed in the word and set out in the sketch. In the first rectangle, heavens and earth, old general dot 1, 1, 2 Peter 3, 5. In the second rectangle, heavens and earth, now general dot 1, 6-8, 9-13, 2 Peter 3, 7. In the third rectangle, heavens and earth, new ISA.65, 17, 2 Peter 3, 13, Rev.2:1:1. In the space between the first two rectangles, write in water. In the space between the last two rectangles, write in fire. Search and see if these things be so. God's blessings will rest upon you in the newfound joys which are going to be yours as a delver into His inexhaustible storehouse of treasure, His inspired Word. This brief study is intended as a skeletal framework upon which you will be encouraged to properly partition the strong food of the Word, which food God gives to those who, because of habit, have faculties exercised for discriminating between the ideal and the evil, Heb. 5:14. If, in doing this, you happen upon a precious find which God gives to the drudges, pass it on to others for their good and God's glory. Line of symbols, 1, Yabasha or Ibsh, dry. Wigram's The Englishman's Hebrew and Tor D, Concordance of the Old Testament, latest reprint of the 5th edition, 1890, page 488, henceforth referred to as Wigram's Hebrew. 2. Robert P. Markham, Ancient and Modern Titles of Books of the Bible, The Bible Translator, April 1967, Volume 18, No. 2, pages 86-94, July 1967, Volume 18, No. 3, pages 133-145. 3. Deluge, Noun, Cataclysmos, Downsurge, map.24, 38,39, Luke 17:27, 2 Pet, 2, 5, Deluge, Verb, Cataclyso, Downsurge, 2 Peter 3, 6, cf. Our Keyword Concordance, p. 71, cf. Wigram's The Englishman's Greek Concordance of the New Testament, latest reprint of the 9th edition, 1903. Page 412, henceforth referred to as Wigram's Greek. 4. Greek English Lexicon of the New Testament, corrected edition, 1889. 5. A Greek English Lexicon to the New Testament, 20th edition. 6. Greek English Lexicon of the New Testament and Other Early Christian Literature, 4th Revised and Augmented Edition, 1952. 7. Short for Concordant Literal New Testament. Copyright Concordant Publishing Concern. Return to main index page.